Good morning, church. Welcome to Canal City Church of Christ. Let's stand and sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Lord, we lift up your name
with hearts full of praise.
So be
exalted, O Lord my God. Hosanna in the highest. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings.
Lord,
we lift up your
name
with hearts full of praise.
Be
exalted, O Lord my God. Hosanna in the highest.
Lord,
we lift up your name
with hearts
full of praise.
So
be exalted, O Lord my God. Hosanna in the highest. I have found here love and mercy from an infinite supply. I have found here living water from a well that won't run dry. At your feet I bow in wonder. At your feet I place my crowns. Let surrender be the only sound. At your feet I lay me down. Fear and failure, pride and hatred, you see all I've tried to hide. But sweet mercy has embraced me. Wrath has turned to life divine. At your feet I bow in wonder. At your feet I place my crowns. Let surrender be the only sound. At your feet I lay me down. At your feet I bow in wonder. At your feet I place my crowns. Let surrender be the only sound. At your feet I lay me down. At your feet I lay me down. Stay standing, please. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we have here in this place where we lay down our lives, lay down our lives for each other, lay down our lives for you, Lord, where we are humbly at your feet begging for the mercy and grace that only you can provide. Please let that be our conscious mind as we go throughout this service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So yesterday and the day before, there were some pretty cool things that were happening. We partnered with the Canal Valley Church and put some backpacks together. The next three photos are just us packing. You'll see some faces, some good-looking faces in there from our church. And that's a lot of backpacks. And then yesterday what happened, set up some tents in an apartment complex. And then the next is just some face painting. I think it was just a really cool event, giving backpacks to those that didn't have backpacks. So I think that's a really cool thing. And then finally, while you're standing, look to your left, look to your right, greet those around you.
That came to a natural conclusion. I did forget one quick thing. Right after service today, in continuance with the Servathon that the Kanawha Valley Church is having, they are putting a 100 to 150 foot slip and slide on their hill. My girls are going to go. I don't know if y'all want to go. Miss Annette, you would be great sliding down a hill with water. And so I'm just saying. Okay. Let's continue to lead worship.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam. From the throne of life now it flows. While the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Amen. Song before communion.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips still will repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
got your cups. I hope you do. If you don't, just hold up your hand. Somebody will bring you one. I want to share with you a part of the communion service that's to do with Christ. A lot of times when we talk to you about the communion, we don't discuss this. It comes from John 13. If you want to turn your Bible there, I'll read for the first 17 verses. One thing about Christ, if you study anything about his ministry, he was always looking out for the good of others. He was healing, he was teaching, he was always striving to do those things. As I read this, I want you to hear what John writes about it. Christ knows exactly what's going to happen to him after the Lord's Supper that he shares here with his disciples. Beginning of verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During the supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside his outer garments, taking a towel, tied it around his waist, then poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, do not wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I do not wash your feet, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. When he washed their feet, and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher, Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor his master greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I don't know if you've kept a record or not, or if you do, you pay a whole lot of attention to it. We have a lot of people that are sick, shut in. Linda Bailey went from the Genesis Center to CAMC emergency room. Her lung collapsed. She has pneumonia. As of yesterday, they moved her into a step-down unit. Try to remember her or your prayers. Nick's home with Linda. Broke a leg, it's going to take a long time for him to get well. Steve Samples and Barb had trouble with her hemoglobin. She had some CAMC. They're doing all kind of blood tests. They were there overnight in the ER. They finally got a room. There are just so many suffering. Yesterday, Sue and I went to visit Helen Stewart. Helen Stewart's not at what we would call a nursing home. She's in assisted living, which we generally look at as a step up. And she was telling us about situation. Helen is always upbeat. She's, I think she's 97 or 98. She cannot hear. She cannot walk. But she told us this story that it really touched me. She goes in the night, like many of us, as you get older, you have to get up and go to the bathroom. Okay. She can't get up and go to the bathroom. She has to ring for somebody to come and get her and get her up. And she did. She rang. And it took them an hour and a half to get to her. Of course, you can imagine what the consequences are. We don't know how blessed we are. But what Christ did, he always showed concern for others. And I would encourage each of you, and I know many of you do, remember those that are sick and shut in. Chuck and Shirley, they have been here for months because of illness. There are so many that are suffering. Steve and Susie, Steve's not doing very well. Just try to remember them in a prayer. You know, we're very blessed with all the things we have. You've got a cell phone. We used to have a record of everybody with their picture or number in it. But in my cell phone and yours, you should be having everybody's name. All you have to do is punch that name and punch the number, and you've got them. You can call them and just say, hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. If you can't visit, I don't know that necessarily visits are always the best. I talked to Linda Bailey, and I got her to cough, and I was embarrassed. Because she didn't need to cough. Her lungs collapsed. They got a hose in, a tube in her. She is doing well. But I know she appreciates prayers, because when someone will call her, she'll ask them to call. Tom's called me and said, you know, I talked to Linda. She said for me to call you and tell you where she is. So just a reminder to you and a reminder of Christ. Although he knew exactly what he was going to suffer, he washed feet, realizing that his feet would be nailed to the cross. His thoughts and concerns were always for others. And I believe that's what we should do. If we're going to imitate Christ, always be thoughtful of those about us. And I know for me, too often I'm negligent, and I would just seek to say to you, as we consider Christ's gift to us, let's strive to do a little kindness toward those who are sick and suffering that too often we forget. Let's offer thanks for the loaf. Father, we can never repay the debt you paid for us, but help us in our daily walk always to strive to show a measure of kindness and concern for those about us, because you love each and every one of us. Help us not to be selfish. Help us to always be thoughtful, particularly and those of the household of Christ. We ask your blessing on this loaf, which to the Christian represents the body that was broken for our sin. Be with us as we partake. Forgive us of our sins. Allow your Spirit to guide us and direct us in a way you'd have us go. All these things we pray in the name of Christ, and amen. Once again, we approach the Lord's throne, asking blessings on the cup, which to the Christian represents the blood of Christ and the cleansing power. that cleanses us as we strive to follow the example that he set for us. Let's ask his blessing upon this cup. Father, be with us, be with each one that's here, be with each one that partakes. Help us, Father, that we might be strengthened by the knowledge that you always are with us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Give us a servant's heart in all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Although it's not a part of the communion, we use this time also to lay by up in store. If you'd like to contribute, there's a tray in the back of the room. You can contribute. Many contribute online. But without your assistance, this church would not be able to sustain itself. And so we each need to be considerate of the blessings of our physical nature as well as our spiritual. Let's offer thanks. God, you have blessed us beyond all means. You have blessed us through Christ, through his sacrifice. You have blessed us through our daily association with one another. Help us in our daily walk, Father. We ask your blessing for the gifts that we offer. May we give with a servant's heart and a true desire to serve you and those about us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
All right, kids, it's time to go. Kids worship time. And before Charlie Morris gets up and leads us in a sermon, please stand and let's sing this one song. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Well, let's try to do this. Ooh. It's always good to be here at Kanawha City. It's kind of like a second home. We'll get this figured out. We're going to spend some time thinking together this morning about how we're going to change, how we're going to be different, what kind of people we're going to be. And especially, we're going to think about how can we think like Jesus. And I'm going to suggest to you that it's not always our nature to think like him. Now, I will say we hear often the question, and we should live our life by saying, what would Jesus do? Well, this morning, rather than what would Jesus do, it's what would Jesus think? And I'm going to suggest that we're going to be able to know something about that, and that when we leave here, and this week, and in our lives, we're going to be able to live out this little scripture. I'd like for you to read this scripture with me aloud as we contemplate how we're going to think. Let's read together. But we have the mind of Christ and do hold the thoughts of his heart. That's going to be the kind of lives that we want to have and what we want to do. But before we get into that, I want to tell you about a little critter, a little bug. I pulled up and looked at a list of synonyms for the worm. I'll just share you some synonyms for a worm. A grub, a wiggler, a bug, caterpillar, a creepy crawly, a maggot, an earthworm, a pest, a woodworm, and about 50 more. There's a whole bunch of words grounded in the word worm. Now, I want you to know, though, that this is not just any worm. This particular creature has got a specific name. It's a tola. Now, this is a Bible name. The tola is, as I understand it, a Hebrew word. And in Hebrew, as in English, if we could get a list of synonyms for a tola, it'd have a whole bunch of words. You'd see it more than just worm. And actually, the Hebrew word for worm is different than tola. But when the Bible was translated from Hebrew to English, the word tola described this critter right here. It was translated worm. And this worm has an interesting set of characteristics. This worm is not really found in this part of the world, but it's enlisted as an endangered species today in Armenia, and it's been found throughout that Middle Eastern region. It's a local critter, if you would. And this critter has an interesting life cycle. The word tola can also be translated crimson, perhaps scarlet. Because I guess that you'd look at that and we'd say, well, it looks red. That's kind of the nature of this critter. And this critter has an interesting way of living. This critter will crawl up on a post or a tree and attach itself to the tree. And then it will give birth, and it's sealed to the tree, and the newborn live off of that body for a little while. And then that critter turns from red to white. And this is the critter that we read about in Psalms. Because when this crimson worm climbs on the tree, it's not going to come back down. It's going to stay there. And it's going to attach itself to the tree, give birth to a family, and to do that, it must die. That's the nature of this critter. And this is the critter that we read about in Psalms 22 verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. David wrote this about 1,000 years before Jesus. And if you'll recall, David had a tough life sometimes. And sometimes his life was threatened. And when he wrote this, he was under a great attack. And he goes on to talk about how he was feeling. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Now, David wrote that as a parallel thought to what Jesus was dealing with on the cross. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, if you'll recall, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, he is quoting there Psalms 22. And we have every reason to believe that when Jesus was on the cross, he was quoting Psalms 22 in his mind. That's what was on his mind at his death. And he was feeling lonesome. I did a survey in a workshop I was doing. I've done a series of workshops on living at peace, having a peaceful life and peace. And in the survey, we had about 110 people participate in the survey. And one of the questions we ask is, what most disturbs your peace? The number one answer that people said disturbed their peace was lonesomeness. Number two was bereavement, a loss. Lonesome and a loss. And that created a disturbance in a life of peace. It caused distress, discomfort. Just an inkling of what Jesus must have been feeling when he faced death. And as we're going to see how lonesome he felt, as he cried to God, why have you forsaken me? Why is it that I'm so alone? And he understood, perhaps better than anybody else in the world, how it felt to be alone. And so we want to think about his mind as he was dying. And he cried out to God, an honest feeling, why have you forsaken me? My God, I cry out by day, but you don't answer me. By night, I find no rest. For the week before the crucifixion was pretty tough. He was being tried and whipped. And he was approaching death before he ever got to the cross. And he's feeling very lonesome. In fact, on his mind, as we're going to have evidence to show, from the beginning of Psalms 22 to the end of Psalms 22 are figures and characteristics that a language that applies first to David, but then in a much stronger way to Jesus. Because he goes from, my God, why have you forsaken me, all the way down to verse 11, where it says, do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there's no one to help. That's the way Jesus was thinking. You ever feel that way? Did you ever think, God's not caring about me? God's not near me? I'm not sure about my faith. It's not very real right now. I'm so lonesome. Or maybe it's, I'm so afraid. Fear is a powerful thing. It gets in the way of our daily living. Does anyone ever feel anxious about life? Disturbed? See, I think that's kind of a human characteristic. It's not our nature to think divinely. It's our nature to think humanly. It's a human thought to be anxious, to be fearful, to mourn. It's a fear. It's really a human nature, and Christ was showing his humanity when he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me? Don't be far away from me. I'm so lonesome. This is a terrible plot I'm in. God, don't be so far away." It was an honest expression. And if we are going to be thinking like Christ, it's okay for us then to say, "Why have you forsaken me, God? I feel so lonesome." But as we're going to see from the mind of Jesus, it's not okay to stay there. That's not where Jesus ends up. We have in the scriptures of Psalms 22 a transition. And we're going to spend a little time just reading that chapter, major excerpts from it. Because we're going to see a transition. We're going to see that Christ goes in his mind from agony and despair and lonesomeness to praise and confidence and joy, even as he's hanging on the cross. We'll see how he thinks and what's going to become the model for how we think. Let's look at just some of Psalms 22, and I don't have these all on PowerPoint. And we never can do this without a reasonable accommodation. But in Psalms 22, where we read in verse 11 about "don't be so far from me," it goes ahead after that to say, "Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me." Bashan is a place a little northeast of Jerusalem, and I would compare it to Texas. In America, if we want to talk about big cattle, we know everything big in Texas. And they have those big longhorns. In this era, Bashan was the place for the big bulls. Just think of it as Texas. Roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouths wide against me. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It is melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth and lay me in the dust of death. Do we have any doubt that this scripture applies to Jesus? This is where he was and what he was thinking and what he was saying when he was dying. But he doesn't stay there. Move ahead. In verse, we're going to skip all the way down in Psalms 22 to verse 22. I will declare your name to my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All the descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help. You see, Jesus is now acknowledging God's with him. God cares for him, hasn't abandoned him. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation will bow down before him. For the dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to the people yet unborn. And then when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Psalms 22 ends, "He has done it." So we get the idea here. Jesus was in agony. He was lonesome. He was having more despair than we can have in any dark moment in our life. And he turned to praise. When life tumbles in, when our life just is gone, it seems like it's beyond us, our goal is to think like God. Really, to have the mind of Jesus. How would we go about having a mind like Jesus? Because I'm going to suggest that it is not our nature to think divinely. It's our nature to think humanly. And the message this morning is it's time to change. It is time for us to always be conscious of having the mind like Jesus. Well, what Jesus did first, and we're going to cover a few points very rapidly, is he turned to Scripture. He did this when he had to confront Satan, and Satan was tempting him. He turned and quoted Scripture. It's untold. I can't tell you how many times in the Scriptures Jesus repeats, quotes Scripture from the Old Testament and applies it to his life. When our life tumbles in, Scripture is a great place to start. It begins with like the mind of Jesus. And he calls on God. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's our nature sometimes to want to crawl in a hole. Here we go. Turn to Scripture. Call on God. And just be acknowledge what is. I'm lonesome. I'm afraid. I can't imagine this life going on like it is. My neighborhood is scaring me. The world around me is terrible. I acknowledge what is. And we're going to live there. We're not going to stay there. We're going to change that. If we think like Jesus, we're honest. We say what is. And then we offer praise. Out of our agony comes our praise. Out of our lonesomeness comes praise. Now, it's not unusual to feel lonesome. It can happen in the midst of a big crowd. You can be among 1,000 people and not feel part of it. We're going to be honest and offer praise. And so, our goal here this morning is to change our mind. Not just our attitude toward one particular point, or change our mind from this thought to that thought, but our mind is changed by the very nature of what it is. It becomes not a human mind, but a divine mind. And it is a mind that says, you know, God, you made this earth. You made us. Thank you for that. God, you care about us, and I will praise you. I'm going to take the message of Jesus to a troubled world. And that's kind of scary. You know, we're faithful people here, and we believe in Jesus. We're conscientious in our faith, and sometimes it scares us to death to tell somebody else about Jesus and to show them a conviction of our view of Scripture and what God would say to us. There's lots of things that can scare us. But the mind of Jesus, as he said, I will declare you to all the nations. The mind of Jesus, out of our agony, out of our fear, out of our anxiety, reaches out. Maybe this week it might be good. At the end of the day, if we could just carve out a few minutes to say, did I think like Jesus today? Or was I thinking like my natural self? If we think like our natural self, that's human. to think like Jesus is divine. And that's what we're called to be. Jesus took on the characteristics of that little worm and fed us and gave his life. And in that process, that little red worm, after it was gone, turns as white as snow. It goes from red, crimson, to its afterlife of white. So this morning, let's change our mind. If we're thinking humanly, and let's change our mind to say, I will think divinely. And then do a little check each evening. How am I doing? And if you need to change something this morning, and we can help, we're going to sing a closing hymn. We invite you to share that need. But maybe right there this morning in these comfortable seats, we can simply say, I'm going to seek to not think humanly, but to think divinely. Let's sing.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus,
across my shame,
Lamb of God,
I bless your name.
Worthy is your name. Jesus,
when I fall down, you pick me up.
Lamb of God,
you fill my cup.
Worthy
is your
name. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name.
Amen.
First off, I want to thank Charlie for bringing the message to us today. Trying to think like Jesus, that'd be a challenge for me, but I accept that challenge. I want to try and do that. Brother Joe, in his communion comments, mentioned Linda Bailey and Barb Samples being in the hospital, and so we want to keep them in our prayers. And in addition, I know that Bianca's mom just got out of the hospital, and Greg back there is getting ready to have some surgery this week, and so we want to keep him in our prayers. And finally, Tom and Jan gave me a note about a member of the Ravenswood Church of Christ by the name of Angie Lane. And she's requested prayers because she was passing out invitations to a ladies' day at their church there at Ravenswood. And she was approaching a house and she heard some dogs growling. And so she turned around and was headed back out. And she was attacked by these four dogs. So fortunately, I think Jan indicated that she was able to stay on her feet. She didn't fall down, so the bites were just on her back and her legs. So we want to keep her in our prayers also. Let's go to God. Father, we thank you for this day that you've blessed us with. We thank you for the that you've allowed us to assemble here today and to hear from Charlie your word and to sing these songs of praise to you, Father. And we just thank you that you love us and that you care for us as you do. Father, there's a number of our members that are sick and suffering that are on our prayer list, and we pray that you'd be with each one of them. We pray, Father, a special prayer that you'd be with Linda Bailey and Barb Samples, who's in the hospital, and we pray that you'd be with the doctors tending to them. We pray, Father, that you'd be with Greg as he approaches this surgery Wednesday, that you'd be with the doctor performing it, and you'd lead him and guide him in that care. Father, we also continue to pray for Bianca's mom's recovery. And we pray, Father, a special prayer for Angie Lane, a member of the Ravenswood Church of Christ, who was attacked by some dogs, and we just pray for her recovery from that attack. Father, we thank you for Christ Jesus. We thank you that he willingly came and gave his life, that all who believed in him might have life eternal. Father, as we go from this place today to go out into the world, we pray that you would help us to do those things that would help us to think like Jesus, that we would do those things that would honor you and bring glory to you. And Father, this is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.